Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my
God! The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's caught for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, Wednesday, November 28th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, how you feeling, man? You going to Seattle, huh, this weekend? Getting excited?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, very jazzed up for it. We're going to be heading out there tomorrow morning. Probably watch the Saints and the Cowboys at a Seattle sports bar, and then go to Seahawks practice on Friday, and I'll be at Seahawks 49ers this Sunday.
That's going to be awesome. Are you raising the 12 flag?
I have not been informed yet if I have.
That is a missed opportunity.
By anyone, though, and be there for that, you know, it's going to be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As we all know, Scotty, you're a big-time Seattle fan. As we know, the Seattle Seahawks
football,
have...
Yes.
Sure, a Seahawks fan. As you know, the Seahawks have worked their way right into the thick of the NFC playoff picture. And, facing a big division rivalry, you know, you thought you were going to see Jimmy G. Instead, you see Nick Mullins. But, hey, it'll do all right. Scotty, a lot of fun that we're going to have today. We put the fun in functional sports radio. One of the things I'm excited about, Scotty, is that there are no more buys, okay? There are no more buys anymore, so you'll have your full complement of players. And let's talk conceptually first here, okay, Scott? Because now that we've hit this time of the season, we've made reference to it, but listen, Scott, on a Wednesday, we got 2 hours to preview all the games. I always say on Wednesdays, you're going to start hearing injury news, but don't get worried about it. You will get the notification on your phone that DeAndre Hopkins' status has been changed to questionable. Don't fret about it. The man is on the field for something like 99% of Houston Texans plays. But I say this because I think we have an opportunity to dig into this a little bit more than we usually do. Now that the buys are gone, Scott, and you have 1 week, most teams, let's say, for example, you are 9-3 and, you know, ticketed for the playoffs, right? You should start here, making your roster dangerous for weeks 14, 15, and 16, right? And we talked about, like, you know, cutting the fat, getting the handcuffs. What are the kinds of things that you should be doing right now? Let's say you do have a little star next to your name. You are going to the playoffs. What are things you should be doing this week to get ahead of it and get ready for the playoffs in terms of handcuffs, defenses, and the like?
Well, you know, this is why you check out my new rest of season ranks, my final ones for the season. At this point of the year, you really who the guys are who are going to carry you into the playoffs and hopefully into a deep playoff run. So what you really want to do is just have your roster set right now. At running back, if you can, you want to get the top handcuffs. to your number one and number two fantasy running backs if they're regular starters and they're available. You want the Malcolm Browns, the Wayne Gallmans, etc. But, you know, nothing is absolute, like I always say. You know, if you can have LeGarrette Blount over Wayne Gallman, you know, I'd probably do that because if Saquon Barkley were to get injured, I'd probably rather have LeGarrette Blount than Wayne Gallman. So it all depends. Sometimes the handcuffs are not available in like a two running back situation, like say in Chicago or New Orleans. And you just want to have good depth, and you don't want to have dead wood on your roster, guys, and you're not going to start anymore. You don't want to have Isaiah Crowell. You don't want to have guys like Frank Gore, like Michael Crabtree. Right. You know, you're never going to want to start those guys at this time of year.
Yeah, I think that's the thought process for me, Scott. You know, I think you said it. You run the question in your head, would I ever start this guy? You know, and that might have been a different calculus about a month ago, because you would have said, oh, it's six teams on bye, maybe I would. Or, oh, if this guy were to get injured. But now you're done with the ifs. You're done with the byes. So to your point, Scotty, you need to get the handcuffs. Let me ask you something. I went ahead and I got one of the major handcuffs, but I don't have the lead running back. Does that still work? So, for example, right now, the last man on my bench is Spencer Ware. And I picked up Spencer Ware because, listen, if Kareem Hunt goes down, I got an incredible top-end running back for a great offense. You know what I mean? Like, to your point about, like, Wayne Gallman not necessarily being the one. Spencer Ware sure is. Does that work for me even if I don't have Kareem Hunt?
I don't know if it works for you if you don't have Kareem Hunt. Because you're probably
I'm just banking on the injury and playing defense.
If a guy gets injured, you don't want to pick up Spencer Ware if you don't have Kareem Hunt, unless Kareem Hunt gets injured. But you really just have to look at who you're running back. I mean, if you have Joe Mixon, you want to have Gio Bernard. Even if you have Chris Carson, you want to have Mike Davis. So I don't think there's enough roster room basically, you know, to pick up say Malcolm Brown. You know, if your opponent has Todd Gurley, you know, I understand playing defense, but that kind of stretches it.
Okay, fair enough. And then you just mentioned defense. We talked about, like, playing defense as fantasy. What about actual fantasy defenses? At this point of the season, what are you doing? Are you getting ahead of it? Like, are you, in essence, sacrificing week 13 to get a defense with a good matchup week 14? Like, right now, you know, should I get the defense that's really better for week 14 and almost, like, punt week 13 for defense?
Well, it really depends what your situation is. I mean, if you're if you've already
I said if you're 9-3, you got a star on your team next to your team.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily have clinched a bye or your seeding or anything like that. If you have 10 wins or more, you could start looking ahead to week 14, but otherwise you really can't. But you know, there's one defense out there that really can help you the rest of the way, and it's, you know, it's very rare, you know, in this kind of fantasy universe right now that you have a defense and you can really start the rest of the way. And they're looking very good this week. I'm talking about the Denver Broncos. You know, you could probably just set it and forget it with the Denver Broncos. When you look at their schedule, look at their week 13 to 16 schedule. Cincinnati, San Francisco, Cleveland, Oakland.
Wow. Say that one again. Cincinnati,
San Francisco, Cleveland, Oakland.
Oh, gotta love that. Especially, you know, you get drifted Jeff Driscoll in your lap, then you get San Francisco week 13. You know,
we don't even know hype train. That's 14. Right? Yeah, we do. And Mullins may not even keep the job.
That's right. 13 is this week with Cincinnati Driscoll. Then you got San Francisco week 13. Week 14. You would have week 15, which would be the semis, you would have Cleveland. And then the championship game, you would have Oakland. Cleveland would be the only one that would scare me of that group.
Yes.
Scotty, is that game, do you know, you have in front of you, is that game a Denver home game or in Cleveland?
It's a home game. It's a home game.
Okay, so that's a little bit better. It's crazy to me that Cleveland would be the scariest to me of those four matchups.
You never thought you'd say that at the beginning of the year. This is why looking at playoff schedules in August when you're drafting is a waste.
No, absolutely. You don't know who's going to go down by injury. You don't know who's going to underperform. And you don't know who's going to overperform either. You know what I mean? Like right now, I continue to say Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts are hot as all get out, like liquid hot magma, Scotty. And like magma. I think you need to avoid them. I really like your call yesterday about Naheem Hines on the waiver wire, because if Marlon Mack doesn't go and he's in the concussion protocol, then Hines becomes the beneficiary of the Andrew Luck moving offense. And as we know, Naheem Hines also has the PPR chops, shall we say. I like your defenses, to Scott, and let's look at that real quick. Again, I'm on your rest of season rankings over on rotoexperts.com, the mark of fantasy excellence. I'm on your defenses, Scott. Now, I see that your Denver Broncos is, your fourth overall defense, but you have a defense 13 spots ahead of the consensus, Scott, rest of the season. You have them third overall, and that is the New Orleans Saints. Talk to me about that one. I'll tell you why I'm a little bit concerned on that one, Scotty. I remember from the other side of things, I know that week 16, your championship week, they have the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town.
Yeah, but I'm also basing this on recent performance overall. And if you look at them in four of the past five games, they've scored double figure fantasy points. And, they had 14 points against Atlanta last week. And, this team is playing really, really good defense. So it's not just purely about schedule here. You know, I'm not ranking everything purely on schedule. You go to rotoexperts.com this morning, you see this. It's ranked on a variety of factors, including recent and overall performance. You know, this defense is performing like a top 4 to 5 unit recently. They got Dallas. They have Tampa Bay. I think they can certainly keep the score down against Dallas. They can get turnovers against Tampa Bay. They're at Carolina. The only one that may be a little scary to you is Pittsburgh. But, this team is getting what they need to get no matter what. You know, whether it's sacks or turnovers or big plays. The way they're playing right now, this defense is capable of scoring a quality amount of points in any matchup, I think.
Okay, fair enough. I would be a little bit perturbed in my championship matchup facing Big Ben, Antonio Brown, Juju. I could see that game in the Dome being one of those games that all week we're like, oh my goodness, the total is only 59.5.
You're talking one game out of four, though. That's why I have them ranked so high.
Fair enough. I do understand that. I just know week 16 is your championship.
There are no really set it and forget it defenses in fantasy football. They have a combination of recent performance. They rank high.
Okay. I hear you. And to be quite honest, let's put it this way. If you ride the Saints defense to week 16 and you're in week 16 and your championship and you want to hop off for a 1 week matchup that's better than facing the Steelers, you can probably find one if you so choose. But then at the same time, you're in the championship at that point. So, hey. If you got there, you're probably happy about that. Scotty, we talked about a lot of the big injuries yesterday. Marvin Jones going to IR, Jack Doyle, the Red Rifle, all that stuff, all the things that happened with the Jacksonville Jaguars. One piece of injury news that I do want to touch before the practice reports. We heard Dan Stratford at the top of the hour say DeSean Jackson is here in New York visiting a hand specialist. I always think it's a bad thing, Scott, when I hear visiting a specialist for that body part. When anyone's going to like a foot specialist or an elbow specialist or a hand specialist in this case, that makes me think that there's a more intricate kind of injury and that we're going to hear something bad. Talk to me about what this is. And quite frankly, if there's no DeSean Jackson, who gets the boost? Because I think this is a fantasy herd. We know about Mike Evans, but everybody from, Chris Godwin to Adam Humphries, who's been on the waiver wire, to Cameron Brate, who's now available, are all viable weapons for Jameis now under center. What happens if DeSean Jackson misses any time? Because it's not like Jameis was really looking for DeSean much anyway.
No, and that's the key. He wasn't. Things don't really change at all. He doesn't look for it. DeSean Jackson's game log is absolutely disgusting recently. So
right.
I don't think anything changes here.
Okay, talk to me about the pecking order in Tampa, though. I mean, like, there's Mike Evans, and we know he's a hybrid kind of wideout 1-2 in most people's opinion, right? Then talk to me about the pecking order. After that, how would you rank Godwin, Humphries, and Brate? in the Tampa pecking order?
I'd probably put, you know, you look at the rest of the season ranks right now in
NFLExperts.com.
You know, I have Humphreys comfortably inside the top 30. You know, the guy's caught 26 passes and scored four times over the past five games.
Yeah, number 27 in your opinion.
Yeah, he's Godwin's nowhere close. Yeah,
he's right. I'm still scrolling. He's wide out 45 for you.
He's not somebody you really want on your roster during the fantasy playoffs, you know, unless you're playing like a 14-team league.
Okay.
And with Brate, you know, he didn't have a yardage last week, but he got in the end zone, and that's what
that
he
touchdown.
Does. He's probably third in the pecking order, and he's top seven.
Yep, you have Cameron Brate as your seventh-ranked tight end, one spot ahead of Jared Cook and David Njoku, ahead of Chris Herndon as well, who's a guy that you've been throwing out a lot as a tight end to kind of look for, just in case you lost, you know, you may have lost like a Jack Doyle or Jeff Hireman, say, recently, obviously, though. And I made the point, I'm looking at your tight end ranks right now, Scott, I made the point on Freestyle yesterday that Eric Ebron is a top five tight end rest of the season. I was like, the only people I'll give you is Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz. Personally, I had him number three, Scott. But then I was like, I can understand if you tell me George Kittle, and I can understand if you can tell me Rob Gronkowski. It's crazy that we have names like Eric Ebron and George Kittle ahead of Rob Gronkowski rest of season, Scott.
Yeah, it's Gronkowski looked healthier, but you know, that's 1 week. Yeah. Still, though, you know, the potential for him to do it in any week, you know, keeps him in the top five.
Yep, absolutely. I just think it's hysterical, like, some of the stuff we're actually debating here. You know what I mean? Like, for example, Scott, I'm looking at your, again, your in rest of season rankings on rotoexperts.com, and I'm looking at your quarterback rankings because I had a guy hit me up on social media, and he asked me about a quarterback start. Rest of season. And I was like, you know what? I can't believe I'm actually saying this. You know, he wanted me in essence to like confirm something for him. And then I see your ranks and these two guys are literally right next to each other. You do have it like the other way than what I did, but just the fact that you have them next to each other, you know, kind of says the how close it is and how crazy it is. The guy told me, am I crazy to start Jameis Winston over Aaron Rodgers moving forward? And I was like, you know what? I don't think it's crazy because of the way the Tampa Bay pass defense is. They're in the shootouts. And that Aaron Jones is doing a lot more for the Packers. And you know, Aaron Rodgers just hasn't been Aaron Rodgers. And I was like, you know what? I'm okay with that. You have them ranked 10 and 11 right next to each other rest of season. How crazy is that that we're recommending potentially Jameis Winston, a guy who was suspended for three games, benched midseason, ahead of someone like Aaron Rodgers, who's known as the best player in the NFL?
I think the problem with that question that I personally have is I want to start one guy the rest of the way. And
right,
when
he
you
can
have
go back
two
with
guys
the matchups
that are that close ranked to each other, it's, you know, it's, you can't just think there's no set it and forget it. You know,
right.
If you have like Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, there's no set it and forget it. You have to take it 1 week at a time. You know, a lot of
right.
times fantasy players want reassurance and can I just set my lineup and forget about it? Well, that's why fantasy is so challenging. There is no singular rest of the season answer because you're not talking about Patrick Mahomes versus Kirk Cousins.
But that's the thing. Even though that you have to play the matchups with those guys and Aaron Rodgers isn't the Patrick Mahomes, shows you how he is like underperformed and how the Packers have fallen this year. We'll come on back. It's Roto Experts in the morning. Come on right back.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more.
Boo!
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's a spitting statistician and a king here for you on a Wednesday as we get ready for week 13. You know, Scotty, I'm going to ask you something here, and we're going to dive into every game with no buys. We got a lot of games to dig into. We're going to do that. We're going to talk point spreads. We're going to talk totals. And we're going to talk Scott's rest of season, final in-season ranks there over on Roto Experts in the morning. But I want to ask you something. Week 13, most leagues, Scott, you know, this is the final regular season week, right? But I see some weeks, I see some leagues that play into week 14 and like only have four teams make the playoffs and it's weeks 15 and 16 for those teams. I see other leagues that, you know, maybe also play week 14 and shift the playoffs and are actually playing in week 17. I see some leagues where the playoffs are like, each playoff round is actually 2 weeks long, stuff like that. Talk to me about – let's talk to all the commissioners out there, right, that are setting up the settings for their leagues. What do you think is the best way to go after it in terms of, like, playing in week 17 or not, you know, structuring your playoffs, that sort of thing? Let's advise the commissioners out there to design a league experience that works for players. Like – because, you know, I've been talking about how this is the last regular season week, and someone hit me up on social media being like, yo, I'm playing week 14. Am I reading my league wrong? And I'm like, no, that's just your league settings. Talk to the commissioners out there. How should they design this?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be aware of your league rules before the season starts and what your league settings are before the season starts as a player. You know, if you're a commissioner, if honestly, it's a widely held belief on among experienced fantasy football players, you just shouldn't play week 17 because a lot of teams will rest their starters if they've clinched a playoff berth, and the best team doesn't often win, and you know, so that's why you don't play week 17. If you're any all legitimate commissioner, you don't schedule week 17 at all. You don't do what somebody in one of my leagues where I'm sharing a team does. You just don't go with the default settings of a site, especially if you're on ESPN. Because ESPN, I don't know what they're thinking. It's the default settings are still whacked. It's it's, you know, the regular season is 13 weeks, four teams make the playoffs, and each playoff game is 2 weeks, and it goes into week 17. It's to me, it makes no sense at all whatsoever. Yep. You know, and look, he's a friend of mine, and no disrespect to him. I've seen Matthew Berry defend it, but, you know, maybe he's just towing a company line there, with all due respect to Matt. You know, it makes no sense when the entire regular season is singular games, and then you have double games in the playoffs. You know, there's some talk like, oh, it gives the team a better chance of winning or earning the win or whatever, but you're playing week 17. And,
not if you own Todd Gurley. And,
yeah, you know? if you're owning guys like Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, you know, guys like that, and you can't play him in week 17 for whatever reason, you know, the best team is not winning. And just it's silly to me, the 2 week playoff games. They make no sense. You know, it's, you know, the thrill of the playoffs is one and you're done, and that's it. And, you know, I'm more for six teams to make the playoffs. This league that we're in, we're 9-3, and we still haven't clinched a playoff berth because only four teams make it.
Right. Yeah, I have a league that's similar to that. I am in right now. I am in fifth place. Right. But I'm 7-5. But my fifth place team at 7-5 has the second highest point total, Scott. And I'm still like at risk of not making the playoffs because the top four make the playoffs. I could be the second team in points wise and not make it. And it's very frustrating. The other thing I've seen that I want to let people know.
One thing I was going to go on to, though. Because you asked me to lay it out to the commissioners.
Yeah.
And everybody's, there are many people are going to be against it. And I say it all the time, but I'm going to say it again. No divisions.
Yeah.
You try, a lot of people just by default do divisions because that's what they do in the NFL. But everything that works in the NFL doesn't work in fantasy football. Because first off, divisions in the NFL have a unifying threat of geography. The Cowboys may be an exception.
Well,
there's a past rivalries there.
There was a time when the Atlanta Falcons were in the West, but yes.
Right. But there has to be a unifying thread. Like, you know, if we were doing some like a Roto Experts FNTSY league and you wanted to put the broadcasters in one division and the writers in another, that makes sense. Or if you have people living in different parts of the country and you have East and a West. But most leagues that have divisions, they just randomly toss the teams into the divisions. And it becomes unfair because, you know, I've seen this before. Like, there was one league I was in a few years ago where one division winner was 6-7, and he ended up winning the championship. Or, you know, if you have six teams making and three top three from each division. And then a team with a in fourth place in one division is, say, like 8-5, and the other one's like 6-7 or 5-8, and the 6-7 or the 5-8 makes it because of what division they're in. Or a team gets a bye because he's won a division, and he wins a division at 8-5, and there's a 10-3 team in the other division that doesn't get a bye. Divisions, they don't make sense. There's no unifying thread very often, and it really hurts teams that, you know, finish with better records in one division than another and don't get rewarded correctly.
Yeah, the one last thing that I'll say, you know, the one of the first things you said there, Scott, and I appreciate all the insight you're giving to the commissioners and the players out there here on Roto Experts in the Morning. One of the things you said is, like, the first cardinal rule is know your settings, right? You got to know your settings because you got to know how to operate. I actually, honestly, Scott, I just learned the settings for a couple of leagues that I am in where rosters get locked after this week, where this is the last week you could do even waivers. So you need to kind of blow out your fab budget right now because you won't be able to make any moves during the playoffs. And I'm in a couple of leagues like that, Scotty, for the first time. And that creates different things you need to do. For example, I need to get a second tight end just in case my tight end goes down during the playoffs. I need to roster a second kicker, Scott, just in case my kicker goes down during the playoffs. I can't take zero because all the rosters will be locked heading into the playoffs. Have you encountered this? And am I right about how to plan accordingly in that kind of scenario?
Now, I'm in one of these leagues with you, and we had this conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
And it wasn't marked in the league rules that the rosters get locked after week 13.
Yep.
And so I emailed the commissioner, you know, and I was nice about it. But, you know, he did make a mistake by not putting in the league details.
But we're confirmed, you know, that is the truth,
that
right?
That is the rule.
Yes.
Yes. In another league, you know, that league was just a mess. And, you know, the guy running
both of the leagues were playing it together.
It, so you can't blame him for anything. He's doing a nice job of trying
to
save it, though.
But let's talk about the GST league then, right? Where that is also the rule. So let's, like, however it came to be, let's say you are in that position, Scott. Like, it's not only just like our leagues, but there's a lot of leagues like that, right? So my point is, do you need to, like, I'll tell you right now, and I'm competing against you in one of those leagues. I may see you in the playoffs. That's still possible, Scott. You know, in one of our leagues that we're talking about, you obviously as probably a two seed, let's say, right? And me as like one of the last wild cards. We may see each other. Am I right, Scott, to blow my fab budget and make sure I get a second quarterback, a second tight end, and even a second kicker?
You can't take it to the gentleman's club with you, so you might as well, you know, spend whatever you can to get what you want. And here's the other thing. Here's another rule. And, you know, I'm very, very, in the league that I've been running since 2005, I'm very, very disciplined about this. Teams that do not make the playoffs should not be allowed to make roster moves. Because if they're playing in a consolation bracket or whatever, those games really don't matter.
Right. No, I hear that. I am in a league where I am in a league of experts where, unfortunately, I told you about this one, where I got screwed. I think it was like week 4 or 5 with my Bears and Ravens defense. And honestly, Scott, since then, I have not necessarily paid attention. I will be in the consolation bracket in that one. Yeah. And the commissioner of that league, who we all know very well, sent out an email to the league and said that there two things. One, that teams in the consolation bracket will have to wait until the teams in the winning playoff bracket go to waivers first. Okay, that like they have first priority on waivers, which I'm okay with. And then what he also did was remind everybody, and I like this one too, that the winner of the consolation bracket actually gets first draft pick overall next year. And I like that, to have something that keeps those consolation people still active and managing. So I like that.
I do something a little bit along those lines, but different in one of my leagues. And in the Dynasty League I'm in, the commissioner's adopted it because he liked it. Of the top six, of the six teams that don't make the playoffs, the team that finishes 7th gets the first pick. The team that finishes 8th gets a second pick next year. So they still have to play for something. You know, I don't make the consolation bracket, you know, affect the draft at all because, you know, to me that's just for fun if you want to do it. It doesn't count for anything. So I think it's more important, like the regular season, like the team that finishes seventh will get the first pick.
Yep, absolutely. I've done, I'm in leagues where that's the same thing happens. You know, the playoff teams are just, you know, reverse order at the second half of the draft. And the, you know, seven through 14. But with the way we actually do it also, Scott, is because it's like a keeper league and, you know, you lose the round of your keepers and stuff, that you don't necessarily get the first pick. You get your pick. You get the first choice of where you want to pick, because some people would prefer to pick on the turn. You know what I mean?
Right.
Based on who they're keeping and what rounds they're losing. You know what I mean? So they, we leave that option available right now. Scotty, let's and my man Chris Bavona, the manimal down there in the fantasy pit of misery, let's open up the phone lines. I got my man Kenny from Philly who's hitting in. He has a commissioner question, and we'll be taking those questions and others as you get yourself ready for week 13 of the fantasy season. The number to call is 844-843-6879. Before we get to any calls, though, let's start going to the games. The first one, I know my guy Kenny in Philly will talk about a lot. It is the New Orleans Saints standing up and getting crunk. They go to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Scotty, this is now a battle of first-place teams in the NFC. Dallas has been performing well, but I don't think any, with Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott, but I don't think anyone can keep up with the way the Saints are scoring points right now. This game is in Dallas, not in New Orleans, but do you expect, you know, a different Saints offense for some reason because they're not in the dome, or do you think Dallas is going to be able to keep up?
I think Dallas, you know, has the ideal game plan, try to play keep away and pound Ezekiel Elliott, although, you know, the Saints have been really good against the run. But, you know, this is a good schedule the rest of the way, and you see it in my rest of season ranks pass-wise for Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. So I like Amari Cooper, you know, in this game. You know, Ezekiel Elliott gets his. And, you know, Dallas's defense has been underrated, I think, overall. Vanden Esch has been playing great middle linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, the corners are big, and they can keep up with Michael Thomas. So I don't think the Saints are going to come in here and blow Dallas away. I think Dallas matches up with them well in some ways. Their big corners, you know, can you know, challenge Michael Thomas, I think, in ways that other corners maybe cannot. You know, Chris Richard is a former Seattle defensive coordinator. And, you know, he's tried to replicate that in Dallas, you know, with the big-type corners.
Right.
You know, which in some kind of gives receivers like Michael Thomas problems. I don't think Michael Thomas is going to have a huge game. You know, that said, you know, the two-headed running back that they have there of Kamara and Ingram can very often be unstoppable. And this team's going to find a way to get it done offensively or defensively. This is looking like the best team in football right now. And no matter what the matchup is, I think they find ways to win right now. You know, they just have the look of that Super Bowl-type team that they do everything that they have to win, whether it's a blowout or it's close. You know, those are what championship ball clubs do. You know, they don't necessarily have to blow everybody out. They win the tight ones, and they win the tough ones when they have to. I don't think this is going to be an explosive scoring game, you know, necessarily from the Saints. But, you know, Drew Brees is just a better quarterback than Dak Prescott by a long stretch. So the Saints win this game, but, you know, it's not going to be one of those blowouts that you saw in the last few weeks.
Interesting. So it sounds like you might take the home dogs, the Dallas Cowboys, if you get 7.5 points.
I think I would take Dallas.
You think they could keep him within
a score? I think the Saints are going to win this by about six.
Yep. You think the Saints, the Dallas Cowboys can keep it within a score there, you know, and obviously also when you talk about they have the look of a Super Bowl team, Scotty, you know, I also would state that the Saints, maybe more than any other team, their home field advantage is going to be very big in the playoffs. And so these Saints are going to be playing for something throughout the rest of the regular season. Even if they salt away the NFC South, they got the Rams out west to contend with. They have the head-to-head tiebreaker, but, you know, they may have to win out just to keep pace with the Rams to make sure that any kind of games go through New Orleans.
Look, they've lost one game, so yep. This team can travel and win.
Oh, absolutely. As long as Fitzmagic doesn't upset them.
Who did
you know,
they
that's
lose
their
to?
Own, that's
I don't even remember at this point.
Fitzmagic in the season opener.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Fitzmagic in the season opener. So. Yeah, and then they've gone on an 11-game run or, you know, something like that. Yeah. I did want to ask you about Amari Cooper on the other side. In your rest of season rankings, Scott, you have him as wide receiver 18. So right there in the wide receiver 2 conversation, you know, I think it's interesting, Scott. We laughed about a month ago when I was like, oh, Golden Tate only cost like a third rounder. Demaryius Thomas only cost a fourth rounder or whatever. But Amari Cooper is really proving to be a huge boost to this Dallas offense. Maybe he was worth the first round draft pick.
Yeah, you know, Cooper is exactly the kind of dimension they needed.
Yeah,
there, because they really didn't have a. Once they lost that game to Washington, where they got killed in week 7, and the defense sold out against the run. Jerry Jones says, "God damn it, I can't take it no more. Gotta get me a wide receiver. I don't care what it costs." And you know, that's what he had went ahead and did. And, you know, Cooper is obviously in better shape than Dez Bryant was the last 2 years, you know, physical in terms of ability, et cetera. And it was a good move for Cooper because he was the number one target in Oakland and getting all the defensive attention. You know, now this gives defenses more to account for. And, you know, since he's come over here, he's come over to Dallas, he's had 3 double-figure PPR games. And look at the schedule the rest of the way. New Orleans, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay. Mm. You want him as your number 2 fantasy wide receiver for this stretch run.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, before we go to break here, and, you know, like I said, we'll take calls in the next segment at 844-843-6879. We'll start to dig into the Sunday games for lucky week number 13 as well. Scotty, I got to bounce this off you. I had a guy hit me up on social media yesterday and said, you know what? John Gruden should actually get Coach of the Year votes. And I was like, wait, what? What are you talking about? And he was like, yeah, he got Chicago to first place in the NFC Central, in the NFC North. Right. He got Dallas to first place in the NFC East. And he kept the Denver Broncos out of the basement in the AFC West. Great coaching all around by Gruden. What do you think about that? He did help the Bears and the Cowboys already this year a lot. He could be their Coach of the Year.
Yeah, that's true. That's very witty. That's the thing about social media. It gives a chance to everybody to be a comedian, especially when there's a game like the Rams and the Chiefs. It's like you can't even look at social media because everybody's trying to be so witty and outdo each other.
Right. Now, I hear you on that. Well, we are always witty. We are always going to outdo each other. We put the fun in functional sports radio. It's Dane and Scott on Roto Experts in the Morning. When we come back, like I said, we open up the phone lines, and we also talk about some of these games in Week 13. We break it down. Scott's ranks are up as well. Come on back, Roto Experts in the Morning.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Baby, baby. You know what it is. True. It's Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Spitting Statistician, and the King here. Talking a lot today about everything from Week 13 previews to how to organize your league in the right way. All right, phone lines are open at 844-843-6879. Scotty, let's dig into another game. Starting to go. We got 2 hours here. Remember, if you subscribe, a podcast through Roto Experts in the Morning, get FST as well, because on Wednesdays, we spend the 2 hours to break it on down. Scotty, the next game, and listen, this is a very interesting game in the AFC South. I was really hoping our guy Kenny in Philly was going to call because I wanted to talk about, he had a commissioner question. I wanted to answer that. But I also remember, Scott, you know, all offseason, I felt weird about the AFC South. I was like, something tells me the Jags are going to take a step back. And I had a sneaky feeling, Scott, about those Indianapolis Colts. People were underrating Andrew Luck and what he could do for a team and for an offense. And what do you know? The Indianapolis Colts are the hot squad right now in the AFC wildcard picture. The Colts go to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Let me ask you this, Scott. Is Cody Kessler being the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback actually help for them when they're a 5-point favorite? Does that help them keep it close?
No, I saw Kessler when he played with Cleveland, and like he had one or two decent games, but he was mostly erratic. You know, this actually makes the Colts a better streaming defense in fantasy than it does the Jaguars.
Really, why is that? Because you talk about all the time that it's turnovers, and I know that Blake Bortles will turn the ball over. Aren't they pretty much going to ask Kessler to, like, just be conservative and run the ball?
You know, I think they can do that with Carlos Hyde, etc., but I don't think they're going to score many points. You look for sacks and turnovers first. But, you know, I don't think we can assume that Kessler's not going to turn the ball over either.
All right, fair enough. We do have a caller on the line, Scotty. I'm being told it might be our guy Kenny in Philly. What's going on?
How you doing, Cowboy? What's up, Dane?
What's going on, Kenny? I'm glad that you called. I know you have a commissioner question, but I do want to talk to you because if you remember in August, Kenny, I was fading these Jaguars, and I was like, don't sleep on the Colts. Well, lo and behold, here we are, Kenny. What's up
Absolutely.
With that?
Absolutely. They're on that. Hey, man, they're on the streak, man. Andrew Luck, he's only been sacked one time in the past, what, 5-6 games or something like that? So they finally got that offensive line together. And he finally
maybe the spitting statistician wasn't crazy back in August, huh?
No, absolutely not. I give credit where it's due, brother. Give credit where it's due.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Man, I appreciate it, Kenny. You got a commissioner question though? What's up?
Yeah, I'm the commissioner of this league. I'm 6-6. I'm in seventh place right now, out of the playoffs. The two teams above me are 7-5, both of them. So one of the guys. One of the teams that are above me is playing against a guy that's playing for a home seat. For the first round bye. So he's talking about benching his players just so I won't get in. But I still can get in.
So you won't get in.
Yeah, so I won't.
Was he scared of you as a threat in case you get in?
I guess so. It's a lot of vengeance going on in the league, but I still can get in even if that does happen because the other team has a hard matchup as well. So. So
what's the question? As commissioner, do you let that happen? What's the actual question, Kenny? Like, are you saying should you like super override that and make sure he plays his guys, or what's the actual question? Yeah,
I've been adamant in this league, making sure hitting everybody up, making sure everybody's starting, and now starting anybody in the IR, giving anybody any easy wins, anything. So I don't think there's anything I can do. Is there?
Well, I'll say this at first.
No, I'm sorry. I don't think there's anything you can do because it's more of a question: is he breaking the rules or not?
Right.
And
right.
unless you have that like listed as a league rule, he's not breaking a league rule. It's unethical and it's wrong, and I frown upon it. But there's nothing you can do because he's not essentially, by the letter of the law, breaking a league rule.
Hey, Kenny. The one thing I'll say is this a redraft league or is this a dynasty league?
No, it's a redraft.
All right, so that makes it more complicated. What I was going to say, Kenny, is if it was a dynasty league, you know, you could always try to, as commissioner, put in incentives, you know, year to year for people to, continue to manage, right? Whether you're, like Scott and I just said, making the first playoff team, get a first draft pick, you know, you could do things like that for the draft order next year. You could also put in kind of like a shame prize, you know, a booby prize, like for last place teams or anything like that, that they got to, you know, buy beer for the draft next year, get a tattoo, whatever it is, you know, but in a redraft league, it's real tough.
Right.
Because you may never talk to these people.
There is an option here, though. There is an option if you want to be a hard-ass commissioner, there is something you could do. That's, you know, you can't do anything again, like I said, because he's not breaking a rule. But this is not the kind of person that you want to have in your league. You know, I don't know what your friendship is with him, and, you know, maybe you don't want to injure the friendship. But I would say if you're going to do this, you know, everybody in my league that I run is a friend of mine. But if somebody did that, I said, if you do that, I'm not inviting you back next year.
Right. That's why I was asking about redraft or dynasty.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good option. Let me touch on the Saints real quick. That last week's Pittsburgh Denver game, that loss for Pittsburgh gonna make things interesting because as you know, week 16 Pittsburgh comes to New Orleans. And the week before that, Pittsburgh plays New England. So I'm thinking that Pittsburgh might have to win that New Orleans game as well. And by the way, that game is between us playing Carolina home and away. So it's going to make things a little bit interesting here. I'm mainly concerned about the end of the year because those games are going to be pretty hard for us. But I'm thinking that Ingram, yeah. I mean, Kamara shows up tomorrow. Last two games have been Ingram games, but I'm thinking that Kamara shows up and me and Corey are going to have a bet or something on this game tomorrow here.
Yeah, talk to Fantasy Executive about that. Anytime, Kenny, anytime. Trust me. We were talking about that. The fact that the Saints and Panthers play each other two of the last 3 weeks of the season, a lot still to be decided. You know, like, if the Panthers were to win both of those, I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, it can flip the division. It could do a lot in the NFC race. And to your point about the Saints' schedule, I was looking at that myself when I was in the trade market, Kenny, you know, to try to solidify my team. I targeted Big Ben as a QB2 for myself because he faces New England and New Orleans 15 and 16. I'm a team that only needs to worry about those 2 weeks because I've clinched a bye, and I was like, ooh, New England, New Orleans, those sound like, you know, shootouts, games with high totals. Yeah, I'll take the Steelers. But I appreciate that. It is tough what he brings up though, trying to keep people in it and managing throughout the entire season, Scott.
Yeah, you know, it's I think you put it very well, I would say.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Then if that is the case, let's dig on into another game. Scotty, I talked about the Colts and the Jaguars being an ironic game now in the AFC South. We got another big one. This is Sunday Night Football that I want to talk about. This is huge in the AFC. The Los Angeles Chargers travel to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. We were just talking about the Steelers are 3.5-point favorites. Here's my question, though, Scott. The total for this game is 51. Why? I mean, am I crazy to want to really bet the over on this game?
That's probably like the easiest bet of the week. You know, maybe the Steelers will score 51.
Yeah, right? Like in Pittsburgh? Yeah. Sure. So talk to me about this game. Obviously, there's probably going to be no Melvin Gordon, which is obviously a huge blow for the Los Angeles Chargers. But all season long, Scott, we've had faith in Austin Eckler, but I know you talk about all the time when someone then steps up to a larger role, they might get exposed to a certain degree. Is that going to happen with Austin Eckler on Sunday night?
To be honest with you, we can only wait and see. There's no answer for that. You know, it's can Austin Eckler be a lead running back over an extensive period? We even saw Jacquizz Rodgers do it for a two-game period before he sputtered out.
Yeah, pop quiz.
So for one game, I don't think it makes a big deal, but this is a tough matchup. But you got to start Eckler if you have him because you probably like to hand off, cuff him to Gordon in a lot of cases. You know, it is a tough matchup. Keenan Allen's playing like a high-end number two fantasy wide receiver. You know, Rivers is playing like a top 10 guy. You know Roethlisberger is going to get his. For James Conner, though, you know, this is a chance to bounce back from some disappointing performances. You know, this run defense is just not the same because of injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking about Austin Eckler, Scott, you have him running back 17 in your rest of the season ranks. Does that assume that Melvin Gordon is going to be out for that entire stretch of time?
No, it doesn't assume anything. I can't assume anything. It's looking at the fact that, you know, that he could start about 2 to 3 games. The inside injuries on rotoexperts.com this morning is saying Melvin Gordon should be fully healthy and fully recovered by week 16, but that doesn't mean he's going to be back by week 16.
That means
that's his optimal recovery time. Before you start saying, oof, you know, that means that he could return in week 15. He could return in week 14. But, you know, they recommend that he shouldn't return until week 16. A lot of times we've seen it. They'll return before the optimal recovery time. Mm-hmm. So we don't know exactly how long that Melvin Gordon is going to miss. We can't predict how long it's going to take him to heal. So I can't assume anything.
No, I hear you. The reason I say oof is not because maybe he'll be missing, but because you're going to be in a position, let's say it is week 15, or let's say it's championship week 16, where you're going to have a stud running back, like your first round pick, coming off of injury. And, you know, we always debate this all the time, Scott. When a guy's coming back off injury, do we ride with him right away? Do we need to see it first? We talk about it with pitchers coming off the DL in baseball. We've talked about it with guys like Dalvin Cook this season, Devontae Freeman this season, running backs coming back. And people are going to be in a position where they're going to have their entire season in a win-or-go-home situation, and they're going to have to decide whether they just run run Melvin Gordon right back out there, whether it's week 15 or 16.
Well, this is one of those cases where people want reassurance and you're not going to get it. It's just theater of the fantasy unknown. You can't predict, you know, how Melvin Gordon's going to heal and when exactly he's going to return. People ask me on social media, the Roto Expert Slack chat. So, you know, what's the percentage of chance that he returns in week 15, or when do you think he's going to come back? We can't provide answers where there are none. Right now, all you have to do is run with who else you have. And in terms of when he comes back, is he going to be ready or not? Well, we won't know that until, you know, we see the published reports. You know, we can't make up something here and tell you that, you know, that he's going to be on a pitch count when he comes back or that he's not. You know, with Dalvin Cook, at least we knew when he came back that he was going to be on a pitch count. Everybody heals right. Different. You know, he's had a hamstring injury and a knee, but, you know, maybe he can recover quickly. You know, there's no way of predicting that. Even for a doctor, we give you a timeline about 4 weeks where he should be fully recovered. He could be back in anywhere to 2 to 4 weeks. And, you know, it depends on when he comes back and how he's healed. There's basically, to me, a long-winded way of saying is you can't predict it. Go with who you have. Play it 1 week at a time. It sounds cliche, but that's it. Make it. Worry about week 15 when you get there, because nobody's guaranteed to get there either.
All right, fair enough. Good thing, though, Scotty, we do have 2 hours this morning, so you could be a little bit long-winded. It is okay. Let's go to another game here, Scotty, in the NFC South. We got the Carolina Panthers going to Tampa to take on the Buccaneers. This is intriguing to me. The Panthers need to get right. You know, they are still 6-5. They are still in the mix in the NFC wildcard race, but they have lost a few games in a row. Will they be able to get right against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The total in this game is 55.5, a lot higher than the Chargers and Steelers, which is interesting to me. But the Bucs in that defense force teams into shootouts. I like all parts. I like a lot of pieces of these offenses, Scott. Like, talk to me about, say, DJ Moore, who I continue to say has been ascending. I've been making the point, Scotty, that in this North Turner offense, they want to help Cam Newton's completion percentage. He's throwing it to Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, these Ricky Bobby shake and bake guys instead of the catch radius guys like Olsen and Funchess. Do you think DJ Moore continues to ascend? Is he, in essence, the number one wide receiver in Carolina ahead of Funchess these days?
He is. You know, Funch has been doubtful. He was doubtful last week in terms of health, but he's been doubtful for several weeks. He's not even rosterable for the fantasy playoffs. And DJ Moore, I have ranked as like in my top 25 the rest of the
23.
Way. I have him 23 overall.
Ahead of AJ Green.
Yes. Well,
right behind AJ
Green. Yeah, because AJ Green is injured. But he has three double-figure performances in his last five games. And then you look at the schedule fantasy-wise for this team the rest of the way. Tampa Bay, Cleveland, New Orleans, and Atlanta. To me, that's why Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey are top four for me the rest of the way.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I've been saying this. Do you buy what I'm saying, though, Scott, that a lot of this is also, you know, Moore is playing well. I thought Funchess has been a fugazi for a while. But do you agree with me that, you know, it's, you know, we're not just giving them a fish, Scott. We're not just saying, hey, DJ Moore, I'm trying to teach people how to fish. And for me, the underlying narrative is that under North Turner as the offensive coordinator, they're getting the ball out of Cam's hands quicker. His completion percentage is better. And they're staying away from some of these big catch radius guys they used to have early in Cam's career. Funchess, but, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, remember, as well. Do you buy my narrative and, like, the North Turner impact and how they're trying to move the ball on offense?
Yeah, he's redesigned the offense. And what a good coordinator does is, you know, builds the offense around the skills of the players instead of forcing his schemes on the players. And I've always believed that. And Cam Newton, you know, you've seen poor completion percentages in the past when he's tried to throw downfield. Well, you know what? Just let him swing it out to Christian McCaffrey and let him do all the work. Throw it to DJ Moore and let him get yards after the catch. You know, to things like that. And Christian McCaffrey is a huge reason why his completion percentage is so high. Right now, Christian McCaffrey is the number four overall running back in fantasy football in PPR because he's coming off some huge games. He scored almost 47 points against the Seahawks, you know, this past week. And, you know, all of a sudden he's starting to pick up more touchdowns. You know, when you look through, like, the first 6 weeks of the season, he'd have a single rushing touchdown. You know, right. He's got five in his last five games.
Maybe I'm not so crazy to consider him a potential top five pick. You have him as RB4 moving forward. Another guy, Scott,
wanted to say something to you about that real quick. Like, like you were crazy when you did that because we were talking about that when he was, you know, it was like 2-3 weeks ago.
Sure.
And he still hadn't scored a lot of touchdowns. I have him number four the rest of the way because of the beautiful schedule, okay? Yep. And it's not crazy for you to say, but over the course of a full season, I'd still take one or two guys ahead of him because I believe they're just more consistent in terms of touchdown production. But if you wanted to take him number four next year, I wouldn't say you're crazy. I wouldn't do it personally, but I wouldn't say you're crazy.
Right, like there's going to be people next year that have a choice of like Christian McCaffrey or Kareem Hunt, and you can go either way kind of thing. We're going to be back next hour, Scott, right after the break. We're going to talk about more of these Week 13 games and your ranks. I appreciate that I'm not crazy, and we'll talk more about why I'm not. I'm a statistician. Next hour. Come on right back.